en busca de un mejor destino para ti, lo que viniera de ti.
Welcome to the Inside the Journey podcast. This is episode number 31 for Sunday, December 1st, 2013. I'm Nelson DeWitt.
And I'm John Younger.
And today we are talking with Jolina from ProB, and she is going to talk about what they are up to these days. The reason that we're doing today's episode is because the offices of ProB were attacked recently. Armed men broke into the offices, burned some files, and took some equipment. And we'll put a link to that, to an article about that incident in the show notes. But we really wanted to invite ProB on to talk about the work that they're doing now in support of their organization and everything that we've done. And they appear a lot, both in this podcast and in our film. So, Jolina, welcome. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Hello.
Hi. Hey, thanks for coming on. And we're it was very upsetting for us here in the U.S. to read about what had happened, and we just thought it would be a great opportunity to talk to you about why it's so important, the work that ProB is doing these days, rather than focus on what had happened. Let's focus on some of the really important, amazing work that you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's very important to talk about what's going on and what are we doing. And so many more people get involved in this, because if we have been able to be here till now, it's because of the influence and the contribution of many people. Well, just to give you an idea, right now we have 925 cases going on, and we have solved 386 cases. Out of those, we were able to reunite 238 people so far. The good news is that we have another reunion next Monday, so never mind what happened, we will still be doing our job.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of news of reunions, it feels like, this year. Do you know how many you've had this year?
Six,
wow. Seems like maybe more than last year or the year before.
Nope, actually last year we have eight.
Okay.
Eight reunions, and the year before I think we had six too.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, and for people to have context, most of these reunions are for people that went missing in the early part of the war, although it could be all the way to 92, but most of these people were from 80 to 82. So you're talking about reunions after 30 years.
Yes, exactly. People who haven't seen their family, who don't know about their family, like 30 years after, 29. It's really amazing. The whole process is really emotional.
Just a few weeks ago, you had a woman who currently lives in Hawaii that was reunited, right?
Yes. Marina is from Hawaii. We had her reunion on November 11th, and she's still here.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And she the thing is, she was able to see all the mess, what happened here. And she was able also to see how that did not stop us. There is a link on our website of her opinions. I will recommend you to, you know, add to your links.
Yeah. Sure, we'll definitely include it.
Jolina, it might be helpful. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the work that you personally do in ProB, but I think it would be helpful for people to maybe get to know you a little bit, and then we can talk more about what ProB is doing as an organization.
Okay. I'm the coordinator of the psychosocial unit. My job here is to make easier the process of reunions, the whole process of communication before the reunion. There are some cases that people decide not to meet their parents, and I also have to explain to the bird family what's going on with that person and why she or he made that decision. So they will understand how difficult is this part of the process. Yeah, basically my job is to, you know, accompany both the families and the people who get who went missing, abducted through this whole emotional process.
And it can be very, very emotional. You know, I know I've talked about it before. And last 2 weeks, we've had Peter on the show. And he said, you know, this is an emotional journey that takes a very long, long time to work through. What do you see from other disappeared in these reunions? What are the things that they struggle with?
I see many things that they struggle with. What's my name? Some people will say, I don't feel like Roberto. I don't feel like my name is Roberto. I feel more like Nelson. And some people cannot even pronounce their name, you know, and it's like really weird.
That's like, part of, yeah, it's such a big part of your identity. And I, you know, both those things that you just said were absolutely true for me. I felt like when I first learned, I'm like, I don't feel like a Robert, you know, and I had that, the English translation in my head. And then being able to pronounce my own name, you know, my family makes fun of me. Because sometimes I mess it up, you know, so it's like this joke that my brothers and sisters have that I can't say my own name. And I'm not going to say it right now because I'm thinking about it.
Well, just giving, take that as an example. People who get together here in El Salvador, you know, that are from El Salvador, they will also have that dilemma about their own names. Like, what is my name now? Is it this or that? It is Juan or Jose. That will be like one of the things. And how to deal with having two families at the same time. How to deal with who is my mom? How can I not call mom to the person who have raised me all this time? And how to call mom to the person who I just met? Okay. And on the other hand, there are some people really amazed to see all the love and all the efforts and all the struggle that the families have been doing all these years to find them, you know. Sometimes some of them ask me to take them to the wall where all the names of the people are the memorial of truth and memory, where all the names are of the disappear, and being able to see your own name there, I don't think that's easy to. I think it's kind of painful, and at the same time, it's amazing to know or to learn that your family has been looking for you, and that's a proof of how much they have done and they have struggled to finally find you.
One thing I also noticed from when Nelson interviewed the other disappeared children is that almost in all cases, when they were reunited, they also found out that they had lost family members.
Yes, and it's painful because you go and find, I don't know, maybe some part of the family, but you don't find a father or a sister or a brother. When I went to the U.S. last year and I was able to talk to you, I kept many things of what you said. I remember one is expect nothing, wish for everything. And that's what the reunion should be like. Don't expect, I don't know, this or that to happen, but wish for everything. When I learned that there was a term, I don't know how do you translate it, but I'll try. Legal term basically means that the crime is systematic and permanent. So the disappearance is a systematic crime and also permanent. It made sense to me, you know, because it's not only that you were taken from your family. It's what that means. You stopped talking to your parents. You did not grow under the family rules or the family culture, and you lose everything. And I don't only mean in from one country to the other. Maybe one family is Catholic and the next and the adopted family is I don't know, something else. Going back to your to that family, of course, makes some kind of crash, even in the way you speak or you relate to some to your siblings. That is really, really, really cruel kind of crime. From my point of view, it makes sense to call it permanent, because you are not able to gain back what you lost.
That's an interesting thing that you're saying, because I think, I've certainly dealt with those feelings of having lost so much and, not growing up with my siblings or my birth parents. It's not to say that the life that I have now is bad by any means, but it's just this, you always wonder what could it have been? And I think that that is something that a lot of people struggle with, who have been forcibly separated. Sometimes even just adopted children struggle with that. I'm thinking of this because we're coming up on the 16-year anniversary of when we were reunited. And the reason that that's so special is because half of my life I was without them, and the other half of my life I had my birth family. We have this saying, making up for lost time, and it's almost like we're finally starting to catch up. I've definitely struggled with that. It's great that they have someone like you there kind of helping them through the process.
Thank you. Actually, I'm going to start a campaign, and make sure that your mother translate her book into Spanish.
Oh, that would be tremendous.
When I read that book, it makes sense of many things. That like, I think that the difference between being adopted and the different and being abducted is that many families did not want to, well, for instance, I don't think your father or mother wanted to give you for adoption. It wasn't a choice they were able to make. I think that makes a difference while you are struggling with all this. It is why I consider it to be a crime, but I also see the other part of the story, and that's how the adopted family becomes part of this whole relationship or this whole phenomenon. It is so good to find people who are so loving and open-minded to be able to help their kids through this whole process. I met a woman who adopted this kid. She knew that the boy was probably an orphan of war, because he appeared on the church after a bombing, and she always kept like the part of the birth family in his heart. When he earned his few the first salary, she will be like, okay, you have to give something back to the church in memory of your mother. I don't know if she's alive or she's dead, but you should do something to honor her. This coming from an adoptive mother. The day of the reunion, she was the first to sing. It shows how the process gets a lot easier if the adoptive family is involved.
That's great advice. I don't think my reunion would have gone as smoothly had my adoptive parents not been as, I guess, brave and supportive as they had been. It can be hard. I've talked to other disappeared who struggle to bring their family into the picture, their adoptive family into the picture, but I think it's an important part of the healing process for both sides.
Yeah, there are other cases when the adoptive family doesn't get involved, or it's against the reunion. I know a case of a person who had her reunion hidden from the adoptive family. She struggles to deal with both of her families.
From doing some research, it seemed like it was very hard to understand from the outside why people wouldn't want reunions. And of course, maybe that's just my own ignorance because I'm not adopted, and every adoption is an individual thing, and everybody has a right to absolute right to their own decisions.
The thing is that there are people who do not want to get together with their birth family. There's a lot of reasons. Some of them are afraid of the reaction of their birth of their adoptive family. I'm sorry. Because they feel that would be like unloyal or ungrateful, or they will hurt them or somehow. Or some other cases has to do with the war itself. Coming here to El Salvador for many means live again the war or the traumatic event that they left behind and don't want to know about it anymore.
They'd rather just sort of move on and focus on their lives today.
Exactly. Without saying names, there is the one case I remember. This person saw her mother die, and he will not come. There's no way he will come. He don't want to go through all this
event.
Again. Yeah. I do understand, you know, although that means not meeting your birth family and the people who have looked for you for this whole time.
So when that happens, the birth family learns that the person's alive and that they're okay, and obviously I'm sure they're disappointed, but you give them the information that there's just not going to be a reunion.
More or less, yes. But you know, something I really, really, really amazed is about the fate and the hope of the people who are on this side of the border. And they will say, like, okay, just keep praying. Let's keep our hopes high, and one day will happen.
Well, I know my own grandmother kind of had that belief and that faith and determination to pursue my case for many, many years, you know. And one of the photos that we use in the film is her going to the offices of the FMLN with a picture of my mother asking where her grandson is. And just the look on her face is, you know, she's just staring into this guy, burning a hole through him and saying, like, give me the answers. And of course she didn't get them then, but she never gave up and she kept looking. So, you know, it does take an incredible amount of strength on the part of the family to continue this search.
Yeah, and what's going on right now is that many family members are already old. Some of them are dying. But what they do is that they kind of like ask some younger family members to keep going. I see Probúsqueda for many, many, many more years because of that. And maybe that's something I should talk about a little bit more. Probúsqueda is not like a normal NGO, you know. We're an association, and the associates are family members who have lost their children during the war. Most of them are mothers, some fathers, some of them are siblings, some of them are, you know, grandmothers, grandfathers. They keep struggling and making sure that we do our work and keep finding people or keep looking for them.
Well, we will continue to support you as you continue on this journey to find and reunite more families. I think we're coming to a close, so we'll start to wrap things up here. And I know that Pro B is in going through some changes at the moment, and you're moving to a new location. Maybe you could share that a little bit of that news.
We finally were able to buy a house for our offices, so they will be our own offices. We will stop renting, and we are moving in December. I was going to say also that there is a new reunion coming up on next Monday to show that nothing is going to stop us. And this is one of the cases that was solved through the DNA test, you know, the DNA database that we have.
Mm-hmm.
A cold match.
A cold match.
Yep.
Wow. So they just, you ran the family's DNA and you ran the person who was looking and
yep.
It popped up.
Wow.
Yep, exactly.
I wanted to jump in and say, we recently had an email from somebody who had found the podcast or the website mm-hmm. And was a Salvadoran American. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about what ProB does once people reach out to them, how to get a hold of you.
I think you can contact us through our email. We have our website, probusqueda.org.sv, and we also have our phone number is 503-2235-1039.
Great. So,
perfect.
Somebody calls in or sends an email, they basically get assigned a caseworker to talk to, and the caseworker interviews mm-hmm. them and
yes.
offers some tests for them and
yes.
And then explains the process and explains all the context
mm-hmm.
and then they have patients, but you're back in touch with them and you answer questions and you're there for them. And
yeah.
and the process is sort of in their control the whole time. They decide, even after everything, they decide if they want a reunion or not.
Of course. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jolaina, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fantastic. It's great to hear, you know, the work that you're doing and that, you know, ProB is still strong. And, you know, Peter said last week how important it was for him to honor the work that you're doing and have done over the years. So we just wanted to thank you again for being here. And we'll make sure to put all the information for people on the website so they can go check it out if there's interest.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both. John, thank you, Nelson, for this whole project. I'm really grateful for all that you are doing, because I know it is important for other people who are able to hear you and to hear us. And maybe with the final, you know, push they will need, and we will be able to find more families.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And as Nelson said, congratulations about your move and still going strong in the reunion next week.
Everyone at home, thank you for listening. I'm Nelson DeWitt.
I'm John Younger.
And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.